Hi, hello, and welcome to Youth Updates, a regular drop of info to help keep you in the know when it comes to youth culture.
Welcome to our March episode of Youth Updates. We are so glad that you have joined us.
Yes, we are.
The people who are glad that you have joined us, whose voices you can hear, is me, Hannah.
And me, Beth.
And we are really glad that you have joined us. As I said, I've already said that twice, which is great.
We're really glad.
Yeah,
this
we're
March.
really glad. But we are going to, as usual, talk about three different topics that we see going on in youth culture right now. And then we're going to finish it off with our world famous word of the month, which is, so I noticed recently, they've often been phrases rather than words, but this month we've gone back to our roots and it's actually just a singular word. So if that doesn't tantalize you to stick around to the end,
I don't know what will. A choice of
words. All going on today. So Beth, why don't you kick off our first topic?
Yes, I'm going to kick us off with the issue that is school.
Yes, yeah, such an issue.
Or should I say, not going to school.
Okay.
So, well, this came out sort of today slash the last couple of days when we recorded this. So there'll be a slight delay when it comes out. But essentially, the Department for Education has put out some up-to-date stats on secondary school age students, so young people, and the amount that they're missing school, essentially. So the current stat that is out says that 24% of secondary school students are missing at least 10% of schools. That's at least, it's a minimum 10%.
It's a lot.
Which has gone up from 15% in 2019. So it's jumped from 15% of students to 24% are missing it. But effectively, this is like a quarter of students are effectively missing at least a day a fortnight.
Yeah, that's a when I heard it put like that, I was like, that's a really crazy stat.
And I think, and it said that it equated across both primary and secondary to nearly 2 million students.
Wow.
I'm not sure what the breakdown would be in terms of specific numbers for primary and secondary. But like the government's plan to tackle this is to raise the fines for you not being at school.
Lovely.
From £60 to £80. But I think there's just so much that's at play here. And they've also said as well that the number of children missing at least half of school, which is a huge amount, is around 122,000 young people.
Wow.
So that's missing literally half or more of school. So that's, you know, that's missing out on a lot. Yeah. And I think when we look at why, there's a whole bunch of different reasons.
Did they say anything about why?
Yeah, so there were some quotes in the article, which we'll link on the blog as well, if you want to go and check out the original sort of source material and stuff. But there were sort of head teachers and other people saying that some of it was holidays. So one school told BBC News that one out of every three of its pupils absent within a certain time frame, absent without permission, had been on a family holiday during term time. But the school that said this is also in a lower income area compared to other areas.
Yeah, it's so expensive to go away.
And I think this is the thing, we're in a cost of living crisis and many families are still wanting to take their kids on holiday. And so this is one of the natural choices. So obviously that's one of the reasons that young people aren't at school. But also there are so many other things at play as well, like additional needs that maybe schools aren't able to cater for the needs of a young person. For illness, there are some things that there are those who have caring duties, which causes them to miss certain things. But also loads of mental health stuff as well. So feeling too anxious to go to school because of the classroom environment or bullying or low mood or a whole bunch of other things that are going on. Mm. And you know what? I'm sure some of it might be bunking off. Like, I remember being a teenager and I remember me and my friends going to chill at my friend's house, just watching box sets and eating junk food in the afternoon just because we wanted to. So I'm sure there is also an element of that as well. But I think it feels unfair because also there's, so you have your holiday goers, but then there's also a term for young people who aren't going to school called school refusers. But it feels quite an unfair term. Mm-hmm. It sounds like young people are just there going, no. Like they're just saying, no, don't want to go to school.
Yeah.
But actually, like, the kinds of young people that fall into this school refusal sort of terminology are the people who feel too anxious to go and are having panic attacks in the morning and things.
Yeah.
It's not just young people who are sat there going, No, I don't fancy it. I don't like school.
Well, I was thinking about this, and in a world where we've, you know, really started to make strides in terms of like mental health is as important as physical health and stuff like that. You know, if your child was throwing up and you sent them into school, I mean, school would be mad if you sent them in because you're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. But like, that's not your child just going, I refuse to go in because I'm throwing up. So, you know, like in the same way, like if they're struggling with something, you know, with their mental health.
Reminded me of, people listening, I don't know if you'll have seen this. There was a DfE, so Department for Education campaign that was set up.
Yeah.
And it was basically, if you didn't see it, because I don't know if it's been retracted or not.
I haven't seen it as much as I previously did.
Out sort of a few weeks ago. And it was pictures of smiling children and smiling teenagers. And it would be like, for example, oh, this morning Jake had a headache, but he went to school and look at him now. And it's a picture of him smiling. Or it'll be like, Jessica was nervous about school this morning, but look at her now. And it was like all these situations of like when young people or children might not want to go to school and then look at them now. But then it had quite a lot of, it was quite controversial. There was quite a lot of backlash from people.
Some people thought it was a bit tone deaf.
Yeah, because we're like, oh, it's all very well that like they were trying to get people into school. And sometimes people do have a better day than they think they're going to have. But they were also like, oh, but say for someone who's neurodivergent, actually for them to come out smiling at the end of the day might mean that they've masked all day and now they're going to have a meltdown.
Yeah.
Or someone went into school anxious, they're smiling at the end of the day because they're relieved they're out. Like, and so there was a lot of controversy around it.
It's not as black and white as perhaps that campaign made it seem.
I think there's definitely an issue with young people not attending school, but it's not as straightforward. And I think for those of us who work with young people, it's figuring out, like, do our guys go? Do they struggle? Mm-hmm. I know from the church that we work in, we know of young people who haven't been at school for periods because of stuff to do with family situations or panic attacks or all sorts of different things. But yeah, there's a couple of other stats I wanted to share as well before we moved on, just to give some context as well. So there was also stats as well. So in autumn 2023, so just before Christmas, a third of children who are eligible for free school meals were persistently absent compared to 15.7% of children who were not eligible. So basically those from the like the low-income backgrounds get free school meals were twice as likely to be missing school. Mm. But then also it says that the absence rates for children with an educational health and care plan and those in receipt of SEN support, additional needs, were 34.7% and 29.9% respectively. And then over the same time period, 18% with no identified needs were persistently absent. Mm. So it shows that there's definitely a skew towards those with additional needs or educational healthcare plans. So often that's people who've been through the care system, and also people from low income backgrounds.
Yeah. And it may be rather than just being labelled a school refuser, it's maybe a bit more, it can be like a bit more of a cry for help or a bit more of like a, oh, they actually need something a bit extra here rather than let's slap you with a fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting thing to think about.
Complex.
So we are going to chat about another issues based topic.
All of the issues today.
All about the issues. which is where I saw a news article talking about a piece of research where the headline of it was Gen Z are twice as likely to get their news from TikTok than the BBC. So that was kind of the headline of the article and the piece of research as well. So this was from a Daily Mail article, but they were talking about a study called Talking to the Nation, How to Speak to Modern Britain, which was commissioned by Charles By. I don't know how you say it. Charles B. Charles By, which involved more than 8,000 people as well spoken to. Mm. So kind of a few more headlines from that was that more than 40% of 18 to 24 year olds. So we're talking about kind of the upper age range now, obviously, you know, when we're thinking about youth and young adults, we're kind of talking about the upper age range. But more than 40% of 18 to 24s receive news from TikTok at least once a day. And they kind of followed that by the other most popular places that they find that are Instagram, Facebook and X. So X is formerly Twitter, which were all used more than the BBC by the Gen Z participants that were asked. And I think that's interesting. We kind of were reflecting on why that would be the case kind of before we started recording this. And we were thinking about, could this be kind of, because, you know, the style of TikTok is that you're scrolling through videos, and then it's going to be a real mix as well. Mm. And you might then come up upon something where it is just kind of a straightforward news article, or it could be someone like that you kind of follow and like on TikTok that is kind of talking about something that's interested them. It's a place where people get to talk about a lot of their special interests, and sometimes that overlaps with current affairs and news as well. So we were talking about the fact that, you know, on TikTok that news is kind of coming in front of them,
comes to you,
and comes to you and meets you at the place where you're at, rather than you having to seek it out from a separate location as well.
I think it is interesting, isn't it, as a generational thing, because I, whenever I go back and say visit my parents and stay with them, like, they always put the 6 o'clock news on, mm-hmm. and they put the 10 o'clock news on.
Do they still get the newspaper?
No. No. But then at lunchtime, they'll often have the radio or the news on the TV at the same time. But then they'll also have the news apps, and they'll check them regularly. And so they're regularly checking the news. But I've spoken to like a couple of friends where their parents do similar things. And I think there is a little bit of a generational thing there. And yeah. I think, but also we see traditional outlets like The Independent, The Guardian, The BBC, that they are in those social media spaces now. So you go on TikTok and sometimes you scroll and it's like an update on something that's going on around the world, but from the BBC.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So they're almost seeing this and moving into those spaces as well. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, just another bit of kind of that the article said was the report said that 18 to 24 year olds are the least engaged in current affairs, which I find kind of interesting because I think some of them are kind of up to date as well, so I'm not sure on kind of that as a whole.
I don't know if that's true or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Yeah,
I think maybe they're
measuring it in terms of like literally reading a news article, whereas I think young people are very informed. They just find that through a different space.
Well, I think least engaged sounds like you don't care, and actually I think they really do care. I think there's also a difference in that because of social media changing the game, you're often hearing things directly from the source. I think we've chatted about this before, but like with the Ukraine war, people were seeing videos from Ukrainians in Kyiv as things were happening. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with everything that's going on with Israel and Gaza, where we're seeing videos from people who are both Israeli Jew and Palestinian Arabs on both sides of it. And so we're also getting things direct from the source in the way that you didn't before.
Absolutely. I remember with one of those conflicts, I think it was the Israel Gaza, but like a photographer literally like who lives there stayed in the area of conflict, and was then kind of putting his stuff directly onto social media and stuff like that, and trying to, so people are getting that direct just in a different way, and perhaps this kind of piece of research didn't kind of tap into speaking about those kind of areas because I do think they are important, especially about, I think it's specific as well, it's about certain areas and it's definitely about environmental stuff, it's definitely about kind of you know, the state of living kind of stuff as well. And I think they are well informed, just perhaps in different ways.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you can feel free to have a little look at that article further for yourselves as well. We will link that. But we're going to move on to a bit of a lighter topic.
We don't have another issue. No more issues for you to listen to. We're done with today. Issues. Yeah, so we're actually going into pop culture.
Lovely.
With the Queen Bee herself, Beyoncé.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say me then.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Unfortunately, you are not Beyoncé.
How sad.
So Beyoncé, Texas Hold'em.
You may have heard this.
So, Beyoncé, you may well have known her from Destiny's Child days, a little bit of pop, a little bit of R&B.
She's done a bit of a lot, really.
Yeah, she's done lots. But probably surprisingly, she's gone into the country genre.
I love a bit of country.
And this country song, Texas Hold'em, has meant that in the US, she's been the first black woman to hit the top spot ever with a country song. So it's a big accolade. She's also currently the UK number one in the singles chart, which I think someone said was her first UK number one in 8 years, 9 years. Nice. Don't quote me on the specific number, but it's a number of years since she had a number one in this country. But it's all from sort of her new album, so Renaissance Act 2. It's going to be released at the end of March. But yeah, she's released...
Can we say the specific date it's going to be released, please?
29th of March.
Yeah, what else happens on that day?
Your birthday.
It's also my birthday.
In celebration of Hannah's birthday, yay, it's coming woo-hoo out. It's also Good Friday.
Yeah, but it's my birthday. No, Good Friday's important.
So she's released two country songs, but they are being used in the background of loads of TikToks and reels and different elements of social media. There are sort of different country sort of hoedown dances that are coming out of it. And it's even to the point where I saw a video where it was someone from CBeebies who was like, when we can't play the music because of rights, but we've got your back on the trend. They were doing like a country dance and it was clearly alluding to the fact that it was meant to be to Texas Hold'em.
Oh, nice.
But because of the rights and also probably because it's CBeebies, they couldn't use it. So it's very much doing the rounds. It's been quite a big deal.
I wonder if a country style like TikTok dance will come out of it, kind of like a bit more of an official one.
Well, no, there is.
Oh, there actually already is one.
There are like people doing the dance. Nice. Yeah. Nice. So there are people doing this already.
Doesn't hold a candle to the hoedown throwdown though.
But yeah, it does feel as well with Beyonce. It feels like Beyonce and Taylor Swift are like keep one upping one another in winning accolades and awards. Like, oh, Taylor Swift's the first woman to win 4 Grammys. Beyonce's the first person to get the US top 100 as a black woman doing country. Like, feels like they're like nudging in there.
But I think they're also two artists who are able to like evolve with the times as well, and that's why they've had the longevity of their careers, because they're able to kind of go, oh well, I'm not actually going to stick to one genre, I'm going to stick to kind of like my style, but I'm going to bring that into different genres.
And they are people that young people are paying attention to and watching and engaging with as well. Like, I'm a Swiftie, I appreciate Beyonce, but like, I don't know loads and loads about her, but say I know for say Taylor Swift in the Eras Tour, a lot of the people going are teenagers and young adults. Even though her first album came out in like 2000,
and that's really interesting, because often like you get your first kind of fans and they kind of like age up with you and your demographic just slowly gets older, whereas actually like they're able to accumulate new fans a lot of the time, which is probably going to mean that they last. Do you know what I mean? Another one who does that like to some extent is like Ed Sheeran as well. He's still fairly popular, although I don't think he does it to the extent of the other two. But yeah, that's just really interesting to see as well.
I think, again, sorry, this is just a final thought, but I think what this also shows, and I think it's the similar thing as well with Netflix, is I don't think there is such a huge divide as there once was between what teenagers and what adults are watching and listening to. I think there are some differences, but I think once upon a time it felt like there was very much like, if you go back, like, I don't know, like the 2000s, it was like teenagers were like, they're watching MTV, they're watching the Box Music Channel, they're watching, do you know what I mean? There was very specific things that it felt like they watched, and then adults watched other things, whereas now it feels like it's a bit harder to distinguish sometimes entire swathes of things that are teenager dominant, if that makes sense.
I think people are grouped a bit more around like, I think people feel like they're a bit more able to embrace their actual interests. So people are grouped a bit more around interests rather than around age, I think, a little bit.
There you go. A little bit of bonus content for you all.
We went off a little bit on a tangent. Maybe that's something we need to talk about another time on a podcast, because I actually quite enjoyed that. But we're going to move on to our word of the month.
Ooh!
So exciting. And I know I just dangled that little bit of, you know, stuff at the start where I was like, it's just a word, just, and you're gonna find out. So let's do our word of the month jingle. In 3, 2, 1. Word. Oh, I was getting the same vibe.
Word. Of the
month. Oh, we went ASMR. If you don't know what ASMR is, what does it stand for? It stands for something.
Autosensory meridian response.
Oh, lovely.
Maybe.
I'm going to be very impressed if that's right. It basically kind of means like when you're kind of like making, if you make an ASMR video, you're kind of making a lot of sounds. Go on, are you looking at what
I was nearly there.
What is it?
Autonomous sensory meridian response.
I'm impressed by that.
I said auto rather than autonomous, but I'll take it.
I'm impressed by that. But that actually isn't our word of the month. Our word of the month is the word spenny. And it's kind of an abbreviation for expensive. It kind of means something's expensive, something costs a lot of money. So someone might be like, oh, weren't you going to buy that jacket the other day and you didn't buy it? And you'd be like, nah, it was too spenny. So that's kind of the way you would use it. It mean like expensive, something costs a lot of money. it's not really more complicated than that. That's kind of it.
My shoes were spenny.
Mm. Yeah, my shoes were spenny.
Oh, that hot dog was spenny.
Yeah, like, can be negative. Like, it was, that was a bit too much and not really worth it. So, yeah, there's our word of the month for you. So, yeah, hopefully you can use that in some context soon.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, that is it from us. Please do make sure that you follow us on Spotify if you would like to be notified every time we drop one of these. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to drop us a line on any of our socials or our emails as well. And do check out the blog if you want to find some of our source material as well. But that is it from us this time. See ya.
See you soon.